Welcome back to Mugside, the Opaka Coffee Podcast, where we turn your daily cup into a sensorial ritual. I'm Hope.
And I'm James. And today's episode is a deep dive into something we're both obsessed with, coffee innovation. But not just any innovation, we're talking about the tools, tech, and trends reshaping the way we brew.
From smart brewers you control with your phone to compact espresso gadgets that fit in your backpack, we're exploring how brewing tech has gone from niche to necessary.
We'll look at automated espresso systems, portable powerhouses, sustainable brewing breakthroughs, and some truly futuristic ideas like AI that learns your coffee preferences or IoT machines that adjust based on altitude and weather.
We'll also tackle some big questions. Does smart tech kill the craft? Are portable brewers just for campers? And what can't tech replace when it comes to the ritual of coffee?
So whether you're a gadget geek, a sustainability seeker, or just coffee curious, this episode is for you. Grab your favorite brew and settle in, because the future of coffee is brewing right now.
Let's get into it. So, James, this morning I brewed my coffee from bed.
Wait, what? That's either peak laziness or peak innovation. Which was it?
Definitely innovation. I used the Spin Smart Brewer, set it last night, chose the recipe from the app, and boom, fresh pour over, no slippers required.
Okay, I'll admit, that's pretty slick. We've officially entered the era of Jetsons level coffee convenience.
Right? But it got me thinking, we've come a long way from cowboy coffee over open fires. Today's brewing innovations aren't just about convenience, they're reshaping how we interact with coffee.
Absolutely. From automated espresso systems with pressure profiling to handheld gadgets that pull a decent shot on a mountain hike, the future of coffee isn't in a cafe. It's in your kitchen, your backpack, even your phone.
Exactly. So today, we're diving into the tech that's transforming our daily cup. From smart brewers and portable gear to sustainable systems, futuristic tools, and even a few myths we'll debunk along the way.
This one's for anyone who's ever wished their coffee was just a little smarter, a little faster, or maybe just a little more fun.
Let's start with the smart tech revolution, because honestly, coffee meets IoT might be one of the best things to happen to mornings.
No argument there. I remember when a programmable drip machine felt futuristic. Now my espresso machine has a touchscreen and Wi-Fi.
It's wild, right? And what I love is how these machines remove some of the guesswork. Like my Ratio 6. Simple interface, but precise temperature and bloom control.
Breville's Oracle Touch does that too. It's basically a barista in a box. Grind, dose, tamp, pull. Same process every time. That consistency is gold.
All right, let's zoom in on one of the most talked about smart machines out there, the Breville Oracle Touch. You've had yours for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. And I'll say this right up front. It's not cheap, but it's probably the most barista-like experience you can get in a home machine without taking a course.
And that's the one with the touch screen, right? It looks like a mini cafe station.
Exactly. What makes it special is how it automates the grind, tamp, and milk texturing, but you still get control over shot time, dose, and temperature. So it's this perfect hybrid of automation and manual dialing in.
So it doesn't just grind the beans, it actually doses and tamps them?
Yep. The built-in conical burr grinder grinds straight into the portafilter, then tamps it with just the right amount of pressure. It's repeatable, fast, and super clean. No tamping mats, no guesswork.
That alone saves so much time. And I bet it helps reduce inconsistency too, like when you're half asleep and forget to tamp evenly.
Totally. And the touchscreen interface makes it really approachable. You can save your own drink profiles, like your own flat white, with 19.5 gram dose, a 30-second extraction, and perfectly silky milk.
Wait. You can save multiple drinks? That's like having presets for everyone in the house.
Exactly. My wife has her own profile. I've got mine. And when friends come over, they can dial in something custom. It's personalized espresso on tap.
Love that. What about milk? A lot of machines struggle with frothing unless you've got some serious skills.
The Oracle Touch steams milk to a texture that's honestly better than some cafes. You can choose the temperature and texture level. Microfoam for lattes, hotter and thicker for cappuccinos. And it auto-purges afterward. Clean and consistent.
I'm starting to see why it's a game changer. It's like training wheels for home baristas, but without feeling like a toy.
Totally agree. It doesn't dumb anything down. It just makes the difficult parts less intimidating. And if you're a geek, you can still play with manual overrides.
Would you say it's worth the investment?
If you're serious about espresso at home and you want the experience and the taste, absolutely. It gives you cafe-level results without the daily learning curve. And it's built like a tank.
I think what's exciting is how this kind of tech is bridging the gap. It used to be all or nothing, either a basic drip machine or a pro setup with a learning curve. Now you can get pro-level output with intuitive guidance. That's what innovation should do, make something complex feel beautiful and simple.
And that's what smart brewers do best. They build in expertise. For folks intimidated by pour-over technique or espresso timing, these machines become training wheels. I've seen people who never touched a scale or timer before suddenly geek out over brew ratios because their machine helped them understand the variables.
But I know some folks worry that tech takes the soul out of the process, that it's too sterile, too hands-off.
I get it. But for me, automation doesn't kill the ritual. It amplifies it. If anything, I can focus more on flavor and less on fiddling.
Same. The ritual doesn't go away. It just evolves. I still weigh my beans and warm my cup. The machine just meets me halfway.
Now, let's shift to portability. I've got strong opinions here.
You and your camping espresso setups.
Guilty. But come on, the fact that I can pull a 9-bar shot with a hand pump in the woods, that's innovation worth celebrating.
I agree. The Wacoco Picopresso impressed me more than I expected. And I'm a snob. I admit it.
Same. And yet I've gotten better crema from that device than I have from some countertop machines.
All right, let's talk about one of the smallest but boldest espresso innovations out there. The Wacoco Picopresso.
My trusty pocket-sized powerhouse. Honestly, this thing blew my mind the first time I used it.
It looks like a high-tech film canister, but it pulls a legit 9-bar espresso shot?
Not just legit, it's impressive. The Picopresso is all manual. No batteries, no heat source. You supply the hot water and it does the rest with a 52-millimeter naked portafilter and legit pressure thanks to its internal piston system.
Wait, 52 millimeters? That's huge for a handheld.
Right? Most portable espresso gadgets have tiny chambers or rely on pressurized baskets to fake crema. The Picopresso uses a real metal filter basket and demands a proper grind. It's engineered for clarity and body. Real espresso lovers will appreciate that.
But that means it's not plug and play, right? You still need a burr grinder and a kettle.
Correct. It's not an all-in-one miracle, but that's why it shines. It's made for people who want cafe quality espresso on the go, but aren't willing to compromise on taste or technique.
So it's for the hands-on traveler.
Exactly. And when I say traveler, I've taken it camping, into hotel rooms, even used it on a mountaintop. No joke. The ritual of prepping the shot, grinding, tamping, locking it in, pumping, makes the experience feel earned.
I love that. It turns your environment into your cafe. What's the workflow like?
Surprisingly smooth. You unscrew the base, fill the basket with 18 grams of fine ground coffee, tamp, add hot water to the top chamber, lock it in, and start pumping. after about 30 to 40 pumps, you've got crema-rich espresso flowing straight into the included shot glass.
Crema and all?
Yeah. Thick golden crema. If your grind and temp are dialed in, the results are shockingly close to what I'd get from a prosumer machine.
That's wild. And all without a plug.
That's the magic. It takes no shortcuts, just shrinks the entire espresso process into something you can carry in your backpack.
Would you say it's beginner friendly?
If the beginner is willing to learn, yes. It's not for someone expecting Nespresso simplicity. But if you enjoy dialing in a shot and geeking out over technique, it's incredibly satisfying. I love that it's not trying to do everything, just one thing, really well. It's focused, it's rugged, and honestly, it's kind of addicting. Once you get that perfect shot outdoors, you're hooked.
So basically, it's the espresso lover's Swiss Army knife.
Perfect way to put it. Small, sharp, and ready for adventure.
Talking about adventure, we can't do an episode on brewing innovations without shining a big golden light on the AeroPress, the humble, unassuming plastic cylinder that quietly took over the coffee world. The AeroPress still unbeatable for versatility. I've used it on planes, in hotel rooms, even backstage at a wedding once.
That's dedication. I keep one in my glove box, just in case.
Amen. It looks like a toy, but it's an absolute workhorse. And I'd argue it's the most important portable coffee innovation in the last 20 years.
Totally agree. Get this. According to AeroPress, they've sold over 45 million units globally since launching in 2005. That's insane for a brewing tool that has exactly zero electronics and costs under $50.
That's the magic. Simplicity, affordability, and ridiculous versatility. It's one of the only brewers I know that works for total beginners and also fuels international brewing competitions.
Right. There's literally an AeroPress World Championship every year. The recipes get so creative. Reverse methods, two-stage pours, chilled plunges. It's wild.
One year, someone brewed with sparkling water. Sparkling. That's the level of experimentation this thing invites. And because it's plastic, travel-friendly, and easy to clean, people are taking it everywhere.
Exactly. A 2023 stat showed that nearly 70% of AeroPress users take it on trips, business, camping, vacations. It's become this brewing companion that fits in a glove box or backpack.
And now with the AeroPress Go, it's even more compact. The whole brewer fits inside its own mug, like a Russian nesting doll of coffee joy. I use mine in airports. Seriously, I've made AeroPress at 30,000 feet with hot water from the flight attendant.
You're a different breed, Hope.
What can I say? I refuse to suffer bad coffee, even in the air.
Let's talk brew styles for a second. There are two camps, standard method and inverted method. Where do you land?
I'm team inverted. I like the extended steep and the control I get before plunging. The clarity is better for me.
Same here, but I love how there's no right way. You can tweak the grind, temp, steep time, agitation, even how fast you press. And it all affects flavor. And you don't need expensive gear to get good results. AeroPress was a gateway brewer for so many people. It teaches you about brew ratio, water quality, extraction, without intimidation.
It's also a lifesaver in places with questionable water. Pop in a travel filter, heat water in a kettle, and you've got cafe-level quality almost anywhere.
You know what's crazy? Despite all the tech out there, some professional baristas still use AeroPress at home. Not for show, because it's that reliable.
Yeah, I remember visiting a roaster friend who had a full Slayer setup and still used an AeroPress every morning because it was just easier before caffeine.
And with the newer Clear AeroPress XL version, you can brew two cups in one go without sacrificing body. It's kept evolving, subtly but smartly.
There's even a metal filter now from AeroPress itself. Lets more oils through for a fuller cup. I love that they're innovating without compromising what makes it special.
It's kind of poetic, right? All this talk about smart brewers and AI, and one of the most iconic innovations is just air pressure, plastic, and clever design.
That's what makes the AeroPress beautiful. It's proof that innovation doesn't always mean complexity. Sometimes it's about elegant problem solving.
Exactly. And for a generation of coffee drinkers, it turned brewing into something joyful and approachable. That's real impact.
If I had to choose one brewer to take on a desert island, it'd probably be my AeroPress Go. Assuming there's a source of heat and water, obviously.
Of course. If I had to explain the AeroPress to someone who's never tried it, I'd say, imagine the control of a pour over, the richness of a French press, and the clarity of a vacuum pot all in your glove box.
Yes. And zero bitterness. The pressure-based extraction makes it super forgiving.
So if you're listening to this and haven't tried AeroPress yet, please, for the sake of your taste buds, grab one. It's one of the best brewing investments you'll ever make.
Amen. Affordable, durable, endlessly experimentable. The AeroPress isn't just a tool. It's a revolution that fits in your hand. It's funny how portability used to mean compromise. Now, it's freedom. You're not sacrificing quality to stay caffeinated.
That's a key point. These aren't backup options anymore. They're viable daily drivers for people with small spaces, busy lives, or just adventurous spirits.
Or anyone who likes knowing they can brew a stellar cup anywhere, anytime. Let's talk sustainability, because tech isn't just making coffee smarter, it's helping it tread lighter.
Yes. We've come a long way from single-use pods dominating the conversation.
Now we're seeing machines that self-clean using minimal water, compostable pods with fresh grind features, and brewers that track energy consumption. Plus, accessories like reusable filters, zero-waste scale packaging, and power-saving standby modes. It's all moving in the right direction. I'm obsessed with the X-Bloom. Honestly, this one caught me completely off guard. It looks like a piece of audio gear, or a modern sculpture more than a coffee maker, but once you see it in action, you get it. It's not just designed for design's sake. This is serious innovation packed into a very sleek little system. Now, what sets X-Bloom apart from every other smart brewer out there, and I mean everyone, is its fully automated bean-to-cup pour-over system. But here's the twist. It uses these little recyclable aluminum pods, not for pre-ground coffee, but to hold whole beans. Whole beans. You scan the pod, and the machine instantly knows what coffee you're using. Origin, roast level, grind size, water temperature, bloom time, flow rate, the whole recipe. And it's not guessing. It's using a precision conical burr grinder, a robotic arm to gently pour water like a human barista, and a built-in scale to track output. It's essentially an intelligent pour-over bar on your counter. I was reading some stats recently. X-Bloom reported that over 75% of their customers had never used a manual pour-over before owning the device, and yet most now report a greater appreciation for specialty coffee as a result. That's powerful. That means this machine isn't just automating coffee, it's educating people, building an emotional connection to the beans they're using. Let's be honest, pour over is one of the most intimidating machines. X-Bloom makes it so unintimidating. You don't need a gooseneck kettle, a scale, a timer, a recipe. You just insert a pod and everything is dialed in for you. But what I really admire is how intentional the company has been about sourcing. They've partnered directly with roasters. So every pod you buy supports small batch specialty producers around the world. These aren't generic blends. They're showcasing single origins from Ethiopia, Colombia, Kenya, and more with full traceability. Each pod includes QR code, access to videos, farm stories, and brewing notes. And again, these are whole beans. So freshness, not an issue. It's like Nespresso for people who actually care about coffee integrity. And yeah, it's not cheap, around $800 to start. But for folks who want cafe quality pour over without the skill barrier, It's incredibly appealing. It's not for everyone. But for people who want that ritual elevated and simplified, it nails it.
I couldn't agree more. And you hit something important there, Hope. This machine isn't just automating, it's educating. That's such a shift. The X-Bloom isn't replacing the ritual. It's reframing it for a new generation. I've been watching this space for years, and I don't think I've seen a single machine bridge the gap between specialty coffee and consumer convenience this well. Let's talk about that grinder, though, because it's probably the most overlooked part of home brewing, and X-Bloom just gets it. Most all-in-one systems skimp on grind consistency, but not this one. The X-Bloom uses a 48-millimeter conical burr grinder that automatically adjusts the grind size depending on the coffee in the pod. You can't even make a mistake. And for anyone who's ever overground a delicate Ethiopian and turned a fruity cup into a bitter mess, you know how valuable that kind of automation is. And can we just pause on the pouring arm? That thing is mesmerizing. It mimics the pour pattern and flow rate of a skilled barista. It moves in these slow, graceful arcs, like it's conducting the brew. I stood there just watching it the first time I used it. It's like performance art. But more importantly, it's extracting flavor in a really intelligent way. There's precision in that pour, not just drama. It even lets the coffee bloom in degas before continuing, just like you do manually. But what really blew my mind is that they're open sourcing the system. For tech-savvy users or roasters, you can actually create your own brew profiles, upload them to NFC tags, and use the machine however you want. You're not locked into their ecosystem. That's rare. It's like they're saying, hey, we've built this incredible tool. Want to hack it a little? Go ahead. It's bold, and it shows they're confident in what they've built. And the eco side of it isn't greenwashing either. The pods are recyclable aluminum, the system uses just the water it needs, and there's no wasted filters, no leftover grounds to scoop. It's clean, efficient, and purposeful. And considering how many people are brewing one cup at a time these days, that's the exact kind of footprint we should be aiming for. You mentioned price earlier, and yeah, it's an investment. But what I've noticed is that people who start using the X-Bloom actually end up spending less on coffee out. They make better coffee at home, so that $5 cafe trip becomes a treat, not a necessity. If that's not a quality of life upgrade, I don't know what is.
And I think it's also this subtle form of re-ritualization. Because even though it's automated, it still feels intentional. You still select the pod. You smell the whole beans. You watch the water bloom over the bed. It's not push and forget like a capsule machine. You're part of the moment, but the machine has your back on all the tricky variables.
Right. It's tech that doesn't try to disappear. It invites you to engage, to watch, to smell, to sip with attention. Honestly, that's one of the most elegant forms of innovation. That's the direction the industry has to go. Because for all the joy coffee brings, it's resource intensive.
And today's consumer is more conscious than ever. They don't want to choose between quality and conscience. They shouldn't have to. That's the beauty of smart design. It can serve both function and footprint.
All right, time to stir the pot a bit. Let's do a quickfire round. Brewing myths debunked.
Let's kick it off with a myth I hear way too often. Smart machines make worse coffee than manual brewing. And look, I get where that idea comes from. For years, automated brewers had a reputation for bland, under-extracted coffee. People got burned, literally and metaphorically, by early models that oversimplified brewing and churned out muddier, bitter cups. But that was then. Now, we're living in a different era. Machines like the Breville Oracle Touch, the X-Bloom, even the Spin, they're not just throwing hot water at coffee grounds and hoping for the best. They're replicating the techniques of skilled baristas. We're talking precise grind sizes, pre-infusion, bloom phases, temperature stability, even pressure profiling. So the question isn't whether machines can make great coffee. It's whether the person using the machine understands what good coffee actually tastes like. Because no matter how good your gear is, it's only as smart as your inputs. You give it stale beans? you'll get a stale cup. But with the right beans and some curiosity, a smart machine can produce a cup that rivals anything you'd get from a well-trained barista on a La Marzocco.
Absolutely. And let me jump on that with a little story. I had a friend, super into pour over, airbrow, very proud of his technique, always insisting that no machine could beat his Hario 560 game. So I challenged him. I brought over my Breville Oracle, set it up, dialed in one of our favorite Ethiopian naturals, and pulled two shots side by side, one with his setup, one with mine. We did a blind tasting. You want to guess what happened?
Don't tell me he picked the Oracle.
Not only did he pick the Oracle, he refused to believe it at first. I had to show him the settings, the shot log, everything. The flavor was brighter, the crema was more even, and the balance was dead on. He was shook. What that proved to me is that we've got to stop romanticizing complexity. Just because something is manual doesn't mean it's better. And just because something is automated doesn't mean it's lazy. A well-designed smart machine is just another path to a great cup, and it makes that path more accessible to more people.
Here's another one I hear all the time. Portable coffee gear is just for beginners or people who don't know better. Honestly, that mindset needs to go. Portable brewing tools have come a long way. Just look at the Wakako Picopresso. That's not a toy. It's a 9-bar espresso machine that fits in your hand and uses real espresso mechanics. It has a naked portafilter. It needs a fine grind. It rewards precision. That's not for beginners. That's for people who love the craft and want to take it with them. And even something like the AeroPress, yes, it's affordable. Yes, it's light. Yes, it's plastic. But it's also one of the most experimentable brewers in the world. There's a reason baristas compete with it. There's a reason it has a global championship. So portability doesn't equal inferiority. In fact, some of the most creative coffee moments I've had were outside the kitchen, brewing on a road trip, sharing a cup on a hike, dialing in a recipe at an Airbnb. It changes your relationship with the ritual. It becomes more about presence than perfection. And honestly, that's what coffee's about.
Amen to that. And I'll add, portable gear forces you to get better. You have fewer tools, so you have to think more intentionally. I've learned more about brew ratios and extraction while camping than I have from some classes. Plus, the quality ceiling on these devices is way higher than people think. You're not getting some watered-down travel version of coffee. You're getting full-bodied, expressive cups. Sometimes even more so because you're paying closer attention. I keep a Picopresso in my trunk and a fellow Prismo in my laptop bag, not because I can't afford a full setup, but because I want coffee to be wherever I am. That's the point. Portability is about freedom, not compromise.
Okay, here's the big one. Tech ruins the ritual. Now, this one is tricky because I do understand where people are coming from. There's something undeniably grounding about a hands-on brew. Grinding beans, timing the pour, watching the bloom. It's a form of mindfulness. And when machines start doing all of that for you, it can feel like something's being lost. But here's the thing. Tech doesn't have to replace ritual. It can redefine it. Maybe the ritual is watching the X-bloom pour in quiet arcs while you sip some water and breathe for a second. Maybe it's setting your ratio 6 while you stretch in the morning and knowing it'll deliver something beautiful without needing your full attention. That's still presence. That's still intention. We've got to let go of the idea that ritual only exists when it's hard. Ritual is about meaning. If your meaning comes from controlling every gram, and second, awesome. But if it comes from making space for joy, rest, or reflection, tech can support that beautifully.
Could not agree more. And let's be real, there are days when I need the machine to take over. Days when my brain isn't on yet, when I've got a Zoom call in 10 minutes, or when I just want to sit quietly while something good brews in the background. That doesn't make the coffee less meaningful. In fact, sometimes it makes it more meaningful. Because the ritual isn't just about the mechanics, it's about what the coffee makes space for. a pause, a memory, a connection. And honestly, tech has opened the door for people who felt intimidated by the process. People who thought they couldn't make good coffee at home now feel empowered. And if that's not a win for the culture, I don't know what is.
Agreed. Coffee evolves, so do we. You hear this whispered like gospel in every corner of the coffee community, especially among purists. And look, I love a hand-poured Chemex as much as anyone. There's a quiet rhythm to grinding your beans, blooming your pour, and waiting with intention. I get that. But here's where I think this mindset misses the mark. Ritual isn't about the specific steps you take. It's about the meaning you assign to them. So whether I'm weighing every gram by hand or tapping a recipe on a touchscreen, the ritual isn't being erased. It's just evolving. In fact, some of the most meaningful coffee moments I've had recently involved tech. Watching the X-Bloom do its silent pour while I light a candle and open a book. That's ritual. That's grounding. It's not less than, it's just different. And to be really honest, there are days when I need coffee to be easier, when my mind is foggy or I'm rushing or I just want to enjoy the cup without working for it. And having tech that steps in with care, that supports me without needing my full attention, that's not destroying ritual, it's making space for it. I think we romanticize struggle sometimes, like if you didn't measure the water by hand or stand over it for 5 minutes, it doesn't count. But who made that rule? Ritual is personal. For some, it's manual. For others, it's curated automation. And both are valid.
Exactly. I love what you just said. Ritual is personal. I've always seen coffee as a kind of daily meditation, but that doesn't mean I have to do it the same way every day. And honestly, some of my most consistent rituals now involve machines. Not because I've outsourced the joy, but because I've created space for a new kind of experience. Let me give you an example. I use the Ratio 6 almost every morning. It's elegant, it's quiet, and it brews a perfect pour-over without me having to lift a finger. But here's the thing. I still grind my beans fresh. I still take time to smell the aroma. I still pick the music that sets the mood. And when the coffee's brewing, I pause, I stretch, I breathe. That whole moment is sacred to me. That is the ritual. The machine is just part of the symphony now. And here's another angle. Tech can actually help people build a ritual who never had one before. I've had friends who thought making good coffee at home was impossible until they got a spin or a Breville. Suddenly, they weren't intimidated anymore. They got curious. They started paying attention to origin, to grind size, to extraction. And once that door opened, they didn't just push a button and walk away. They started engaging. That's powerful. I think the fear that tech ruins something sacred is really a fear of losing control. But coffee isn't about control. It's about connection with the drink, with the process, with ourselves. And if a smart machine helps someone make that connection more easily, more often, or more joyfully, I say bring it on.
Beautifully said. I think we're in a moment where the definition of ritual is expanding. It's no longer confined to silence and slowness. It can include intention, even in motion. Grace, even in convenience. And technology, when used well, is just another brush we paint with.
Completely agree. Tech isn't the enemy of ritual. It's just the next evolution of it. Let's take a moment to reflect on something that no amount of automation can replicate, the human side of brewing. What tech can't replace. Because even with all the gadgets and automation we've talked about, there's something elemental that lives in the act of making coffee by hand. And I don't mean just nostalgia. I mean the actual physical presence of being in the moment, grinding beans by hand and feeling the resistance, hearing the kettle rumble before it whistles, smelling the first hint of aroma as the water hits the grounds. That's a sensory language, something tech can mimic but never truly speak. For me, it's about the micro decisions, the ones you make based on feel, not data. Maybe you pour slower that morning because something tells you it needs more bloom. Maybe you swirl the cup a little longer because you're watching the oils dance across the top. These are moments born out of instinct, not instruction. No machine can program that. I still keep a manual setup for that exact reason. Not because it makes better coffee, sometimes it doesn't, but because it reconnects me to myself. It reminds me I'm not just a consumer. I'm a participant. And that's what I think tech can never replace, the sense of participation, the quiet dignity in crafting something with care, without distraction, for no one but yourself, or maybe someone you love.
That really resonates with me. It's like there's a rhythm to it, right? A heartbeat in the background of brewing by hand that slows you down, even just for a few minutes. And those minutes matter more than we give them credit for. I think about the mornings where I make a pour over while the world's still quiet. I'm half awake, the sun's just brushing the countertop, and there's no noise except the drip of water into glass. That space becomes sacred. Not dramatic, not ceremonial, but sacred in its stillness, a reminder that I exist before emails and to-do lists and notifications. And even more than that, there's a kind of emotional memory tied to manual brewing. I still remember the first time I brewed a Chemex for my mom. We didn't say much. She just took a sip and smiled and said, "This is beautiful." That's a moment burned into me forever. The machine didn't make that. I did. And that kind of connection, that intimacy, it's beyond the reach of any circuit board. So while I love all the tech, I really do. I'll never give up the tactile rituals. The hand grind, the bloom, the waiting. Because in those spaces, I find a part of myself that no app or algorithm can simulate.
Exactly. Tech can enhance the experience. It can elevate it. But the soul of coffee, that comes from us. From our hands, our choices, our willingness to slow down just for a cup.
Let's future gaze a bit. What's coming next? Because here's the thing, what we've seen so far, it's just the beginning. We're still scratching the surface of what's possible when coffee meets design, software, and intentionality. One of the things I'm most excited about is personalization through adaptive brewing systems. I imagine a not-so-distant future where your coffee setup knows more than just your last order. It knows you. It tracks your sleep patterns, your hydration levels, even your mood. And based on that, it adjusts your brew, strength, roast, even origin type, to suit what your body or your mind needs that day. Like a barista meets nutritionist, meets therapist. But it lives on your counter. I also see a lot of potential in AI-driven sensory mapping. Imagine brewing a coffee and having your system read the flavor profile through sensors in real time, acidity, body, sweetness, and helping you calibrate your process based on objective data. That kind of feedback could change how we learn about coffee. It turns every cup into a lesson. And I'd love to see more crossover between wellness and coffee. Not just from a caffeine or health angle, but treating the act of brewing as part of a morning ritual that's more holistic. Coffee as part of a full body rhythm, synced with light, sound, even breath. It sounds out there now, but I think we're headed there. We've moved past coffee as fuel. The next phase is coffee as flow.
Wow, yes, I love that idea. Coffee as flow, that hits. For me, I think the next frontier is going to be modularity and hardware that grows with you. Right now, if you want to level up your setup, you're often stuck replacing the whole thing. But I think we'll start seeing espresso machines and brewers designed like ecosystems. You start with a base model, then upgrade the grinder module, swap out the group head, adjust the PID control, add a milk texturing arm later. Just like building a custom PC or gaming rig, but for coffee. It puts the power back in the hands of the user, lets you evolve your craft without waste, without starting over. Another area I'm watching closely is biomaterial brewing gear, tools made from compostable, regenerative, or even edible materials. I've heard whispers of biodegradable filters embedded with prebiotics. Sounds wild, but who knows? The intersection of food science and coffee has so much unlocked potential. It's not just about flavor, it's about function. And of course, there's going to be a wave of hyper-portable smart brewers. Imagine a battery-powered, app-controlled espresso machine the size of a soda can that syncs with your travel calendar and adjusts brew settings based on altitude and local water hardness. You land in Mexico City, and the app says, "We adjusted your bloom time to compensate for elevation." That's not fantasy. It's engineering. And it's coming. But here's what excites me the most. All of these innovations are being driven by a growing hunger for intention. People don't just want caffeine. They want context. They want experience. And every time tech enables that, rather than getting in the way, I think we get closer to the soul of what coffee's really about.
All right. Final thoughts. What's your personal favorite innovation in the last 5 years?
Tough one. But if I had to choose, I'd say pressure profiling in home espresso machines has been the biggest game changer for me. It honestly unlocked a whole new world I didn't even know I was missing. When you're first learning espresso, it's all about consistency. Same dose, same time, same pressure, and that's fine for getting decent shots. But once you start playing with pressure profiles, you start discovering this entire dimension of expression. You realize that espresso doesn't have to be this blunt force bam of flavor. It can be gentle, it can unfold, it can breathe. I started by mimicking classic profiles. Slow, pre-infusion, ramp up, steady hold. But then I tried a declining profile on a natural Ethiopia, and it was like someone lifted a curtain. I was tasting floral notes that used to get masked by early bitterness. And on a dense, chocolatey Brazil, I found that a longer, low-pressure ramp gave me more syrupy texture and less harshness on the finish. What really struck me is that pressure profiling makes espresso interactive. It stops being this rigid recipe and starts being a dialogue with the coffee itself. Every bean wants something a little different, and once you can shape that pressure curve, it's like you're speaking its language. It also taught me a lot about patience. You're not just pushing buttons anymore. You're observing, adjusting, tuning your palate, and the payoff is real. You start chasing expression, not just extraction, and suddenly, espresso becomes way more than a morning routine. It becomes this creative outlet that you can keep refining day after day. Honestly, I think pressure profiling turned me from a hobbyist into a true student of espresso.
Love it. For me, it has to be the AeroPress Go. That little brewer completely changed the way I travel with coffee. I mean, it's so deceptively simple, just a compact plastic tube and plunger, but the freedom it gives me, it's transformative. Before the AeroPress Go, travel coffee was always a compromise. Either I brought a bulky setup and hoped for decent water access, or I crossed my fingers that the hotel didn't have a crusty single-serve pod machine from 2008. But now, my AeroPress Go lives in my carry-on, right next to my skincare and noise-canceling headphones. It's just part of my travel ritual. What makes it brilliant is that it doesn't just simplify brewing. It keeps the quality insanely high. I can get clarity, body, and sweetness out of that thing, even with uneven hotel kettles and borrowed mugs. I've made beautiful cups at airports, in rental cabins, at a friend's kitchen table using only bottled water and a tiny butane stove. It never lets me down, but beyond the technical stuff, there's something joyful about it. Brewing with the AeroPress Go feels playful. You're pressing and flipping and improvising. You feel like a coffee MacGyver, especially when you're off-grid or in places where good coffee just isn't accessible. It's also become a connection point. I've had strangers come up to me in public spaces and ask, "Is that an AeroPress?" And suddenly we're swapping favorite recipes, arguing inverted versus standard, talking grind size and brew temp. It's this shared language among coffee lovers that breaks the ice immediately. So yeah, for me, the AeroPress Go is more than just gear. It's part of how I bring my coffee ritual with me wherever I go. It keeps great brewing accessible, portable, and a little bit adventurous. And that spirit, that idea that great coffee doesn't have to stay home, is what makes it one of my favorite innovations of the past few years.
That's such a beautiful way to put it. Coffee as something you carry with you, not just physically, but as a kind of personal ritual you can unpack anywhere. I think that's the thread tying all of this together. Whether it's pressure profiling on a high-end home machine or pressing a cup on a trail, these innovations aren't just about making coffee easier. They're about making coffee more ours.
Exactly. It's not about replacing the experience. It's about expanding it, giving more people more ways to enjoy their coffee, wherever they are, however they like it. And I think that's what excites me most about where coffee is going.
It's a good time to be a coffee lover.
And an even better time to be a curious one.
That's it for today's deep dive into brewing innovations, what's shaping the way we make coffee, where we're heading, and how it's all becoming more personal, more portable, and more powerful.
Next time on Mugside, we're shifting gears from gear to the sensory experience itself. We'll explore the art and science of flavor profiling, how to decode what you're tasting, train your palate, and finally understand what those tasting notes on the bag really mean.
So whether you're tasting citrus and florals or still just trying to tell the difference between dark and medium roast, we've got you. Until then, keep experimenting. Keep brewing boldly.